Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Pick and Roll Show, where your sport talk goes hard in the paint or is wide open for the jumper. And now it's time to roll with Pick and Roll.
And welcome to the Pick and Roll Show, where a weekly podcast is available on iTunes, Acast, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcast. So if you haven't done so yet, please take the time to rate, review, subscribe. Tell everyone about it. You already know the routine. I tell you guys every week to do these things to help our podcast. And those of you who have been following our podcast, we really, really appreciate it. And thank you for your continued support. Without you guys, we couldn't do this podcast. And we couldn't grow and be one of these top performing podcasts out there. Now, also on social media, we are available. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope at Pick and Roll Show. The Periscope we haven't done in quite some time, which is very rare for us. Every episode we tend to do little live broadcasts. Sorry to disappoint you if you are a Periscope follower, but there's more coming. So, yeah, that's pretty much all the social media. You know what? We do have a Snapchat, Pick and Roll Show there as well. We haven't done too many snaps there, but we do have a Snapchat. Yeah. All right, so no song of the week this week. I'm just going to dive right in and tell you what we have lined up for our show today. So this week's guest was Maximus Groves from the Comcastro podcast. Been listening to his podcast since we started our podcasting. There's other podcast shows that I listen to, but this was one of the ones that I found, and I thought it was really awesome. So I reached out to him. We kept in touch, and I was really glad that he came on the show. We talk about what got him into podcasting, and how we kind of started the podcasting. We started talking about some entertainment, favorite TV shows, favorite movies, or not our favorite movies, but movies that we enjoyed, and all kinds of other stuff, how it is in Atlanta, where it is, how it is here in San Antonio. We even dive in a little bit to what we think, who we think is going to win the presidency. Nothing big, nothing major. We actually make a few laughs out of it. Just having fun. Three guys, you know, who do a podcast, who enjoy doing the podcasting, who are in the podcast world, having fun, BSing, talking about all the things that, like, what guys talk about, because that's what we talk about here on Pick and Roll, right? That's what we tell you guys that we do. So it's three guys just BSing, having a blast, and without further ado, we'll go right to it, and we hope you enjoy the show, and hope you have a great week, and we'll catch you on the other end. Enjoy. And now let's roll with the show.
Fuck yeah.
Motherfucking yeah.
Well, we got in the studio today, well, via remote. One Maximus Groves from Viva Comcastro.
Maximus Groves.
Hello, everyone. Gentlemen.
Yes, sir. How you doing today?
Wonderful.
Great.
Very fun to be out in the rest of the podcasting domain,
virtual world,
this world that we
social are social media,
pretty much
technological whatnot.
Yes,
you're only as powerful as your network, my friends,
and that is true.
So yeah,
you reach into every domain until you can build your own field of glorious followers to make a career out of popularity on Twitter.
Right.
Yeah, very much so. That's all it is, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, for those of you who haven't, Maximus runs a podcast called Viva Com Castro. Got about 80 episodes, great podcasting. Max, tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, we'll go into the sports talk if you like sports. I'm not too sure.
Sports is a good one. So I graduated from Georgia Tech. So sports is a very, not so much sensitive, but it's like every moment you start believing again, they break your heart.
Yeah, it's a small school though, but you know,
well, comparatively, but like still, yeah. they're in a weird place where like every year it's them versus Duke and they call it the Academic Bowl. Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Georgia Tech's one of those schools, you know. Yeah,
but Georgia Tech is the one winning the Orange Bowl one year, and then were they even bowl eligible this year? So, I stopped caring because you can't put your heart in too much, you know.
No.
They've also lost to Duke like 4 years in a row. So it's man.
Everybody does that though. I mean, Duke is Duke.
They always get that. You always get the one, right? Where you just kind of give it up. Right?
Yeah.
That was Mark Richt's problem, right?
Yeah, very much.
So are you from Georgia or
whole life? I was one of those Georgia's a funny place. Like it's not quite as pronounced as Alabama, where you'll have like complete southern backwardness in NASA but directly next to each other in Huntsville. But like I was one of those like suburban kids kind of like insulated from real southern twangy.
Okay. I don't hear much Georgia.
Not too much, man. Okay.
I've got friends in Georgia, Atlanta, and I have two sisters in Stone Mountain. So,
you've seen both sides.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So that's the dichotomy: Stone Mountain to Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I've been around. I'm from Cincinnati or from Columbus, Ohio, but I lived in Cincinnati, so that's not too far from where I grew up. So, we traveled to Atlanta a lot back in the early '90s, late '80s, early '90s, and on.
It's a real unique thing to have a racist mountain. You know,
I got pictures of that. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, it's special to be able to get that far. You know, that's just the mountain itself. You know, it's just the symbol of.
Yeah, yeah. Of, it's a lot of stuff and a lot of monuments. And I'm like, question and stuff, and very interesting.
Well, that's it's the funny part of all. You guys probably don't want to hear about Georgia politics, but it all boils down to the state legislature of, grew up in Georgia, old timey Georgia style. And then the Atlanta city going, guys, let's be a thing, you know, come on, let's be a Southern New York. And you're like, nah, we're good. We're farmers. Never mind. Fuck that.
Right. Huh. Interesting. Pretty cool.
Well, right. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Max. Other than the Georgia Tech stuff,
like I said, it was Georgia Tech earlier. That there's definitely a high sort of bias from having a technology background. So that was definitely the sort of the joke behind the name Com Castro, right?
Right.
I was talking to a friend. He asked me if I was looking for a job, and he's like, "Yeah, we're filling positions over here for places at T-Mobile." And I'm like, "Yeah, I don't know if they're going to be cool with my like protest of telecommunications that I do weekly, but we'll see. You know, hey, send him a resume. We'll see how it works.
Be anonymous.
Yeah. Well, no, man. It's like this kind of shit's a lot of work. I mean, I totally advertise in my professional career that it's technical meets." I don't know, business organizations. You guys put that shit on your careers?
Most definitely.
Rick and Poe show.
Faux show.
Yep.
Faux show.
Yeah. So Com Castro, how did it get started, Max?
I suppose the very first moment was a joke from Matt Queen to me where he joked that if now that they're trying to ease the borders between U.S. and Cuba, that if Comcast becomes the company to develop their infrastructure that has been lagging behind, that we should refer to them now on as Comcastro.
Got it. Yeah.
And somehow like that was such a stimulating name to me, and so much so that I was like, no, I want to base the rest of my professional public facing career on this entire term.
And hence the name Bebuck
right,
on Castro.
Right. I get it. I get it.
But it's, you know, it's more or less a mix of, I guess maybe jokes that are too smart and a general anti-media attitude.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think they know already. I mean, it's not like you're the first ones to do it. So, you know, it's the establishment. So,
well, it is. I am so glad that they're building a new Brave Stadium down here to bring it back to sports a little bit, and which has been a giant fiasco the whole time. Mm. But the business park that they're building for the stadium is going to house the new corporate headquarters of Comcast.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So, so we're very excited to welcome them to the Atlanta community. we'll send them a box of cigars, you know, a nice welcome basket.
Yeah.
And then every now and then we'll just stop in to be like, hey, guys, we just thought we'd want to share some, you know, customer concerns. But, you know, that'll be, you know, we'll see how that happens.
Right. Right.
Give it time. Give it time, you know.
For the, so you've done about 80 episodes and right now the show's on hiatus. You've had great guests.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier and I was talking about the Roger Craig Smith episode. That was great. Any big surprises for the new season coming out, or you can't kiss and tell?
I can tell you that the first one we're going to release, which is going to come very early in February, it's going to be with Amber Nash.
Oh, yeah, from Archer.
Yeah, yeah. She voices the character Pam in Archer.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She has been a part of the improv theater here in Atlanta called Dad's Garage forever. And they actually have had huge success recently. They ran like the biggest, it was like the biggest independent theater Kickstarter ever or something. And were able to buy an old church in one of the developing parts of town. And now I've got like a permanent home going and I'm taking like acting classes with them and shit. So it's been fun. It's been fun.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
That's real awesome.
It's real good.
And who else? There's Amber. Probably in the same week, we'll talk to Michelle Mahone. We'll publish the one with Michelle Mahone. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Oh, my God. Michelle Mahone or Mahone. God fucking damn it.
Fucking Max. Come on, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm so professional. Absolutely committed to the craft here. But she hosted an ESPN series on esports called.
Yeah, the name sounds familiar. I think I've been talking about though. I think it was Mahone.
It was like King of the Dorm or something like that. An ESPN esports tournament, and also had done the coverage for DirecTV at BlizzCon. And she also does pieces for The Nerdist and voice acts in the game Hearthstone. So
nice.
Yeah. Mm. Very charming woman.
Very cool,
really,
man.
Really interesting story. And everyone, you know, and we're just so privileged of people lending their voices to the show. And we're just really excited to talk, you know, with really fun people.
Yeah. And you really ask those good questions where you kind of put them on the spot most of the time and kind of have they kind of almost get clueless with it, or they kind of throw something sarcastic back with you, I guess, to kind of answer it.
You know, like, I'll say, like, I'm not trying to be a gotcha fake journalist, you know, but, well, it's like, I said our show is like media protest, right? It's like, it boils down to how much of the world is bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
How much do people think is bullshit, and how much is just, you know, being nice? And
right,
the irony is trying to interact in a bullshit world to talk about the bullshit about it, to be nice to people, then invite them to talk about bullshit while being nice in the meantime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bullshit, man.
It is. It sure is.
And it definitely is.
It's hard to just sift through all that stuff too.
Uh-huh. I love how that became the ultimate thesis of Jon Stewart's tenure at The Daily Show.
Pretty much, yeah. He did. Yeah. It was all BS and sarcasm. But I mean, that's Jon Stewart's thing. A great, great guy. Funny show. I mean, I enjoy his show. So,
I went through college at like the dawn of like that through that, right? Like 2001 turned Jon Stewart from, you know, silly comic guy into like the voice to like Mark Twain.
Right? Yeah.
Like it was very formative for me and absolutely inspiration for, you know, what I value from, you know, discourse in the media. And so,
yeah. What do you think about Bill Maher?
Bill Maher's a pretty interesting guy. You know, he's like, you guys realize he's anti-vax. Did you guys know that?
Anti-vaccination. Oh, is he? He's. Yeah. I mean, I don't agree with everything he says, but I do like his viewpoints, though.
Totally.
On some of the things. So,
when it comes to calling bullshit where he sees it, he's an absolute hero.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times, I want to call bullshit on his perspective, but I mean, that's what's great about opinions. You know.
Yeah.
We can all be assholes.
Right. I mean, you know, call me. I'm fine with that. Because you make you think about it, but yeah, I don't agree with everything that everybody says anyway. So, but I like to hear it though, for sure. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there is it's very popular in atheist groups to basically say that just because you're religious is what's made these decisions evil,
and I think that's
like a kind of a shortcut into scapegoating like the problem,
right?
But,
right.
Aside from that, guy's got an amazing program, good conversations, and is, I think, doing more good than harm. So
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
I aspire to do the same someday.
Yeah. I enjoy his commentary. It's pretty well written too. So.
Oh yeah, dude's a fantastic comedian.
Yeah,
from that side, he's freaking wonderful.
Yeah. I will concur with you, gentlemen. So out there in Georgia, Max, just curious, what's it been like so far with the new year? I know here in Texas, it's been kind of a crazy, interesting thing with the open carry.
Yeah, you guys have open carry there? Or
man, so like the past couple of years, Georgia has been all about trying to add rights to extend the rights of gun holders for access to their weapons. And being able to take them to churches, to bars, to schools, things like that, you know, maybe not schools. That's a lot.
Yeah.
But open carry hasn't really gotten there yet, I don't think, for us. I'm not sure. How is it in Texas for that? How's the deal?
I haven't seen anything yet. I'm sure it's going to happen soon.
Yeah.
I'm a licensed carry anyway. I think I have reciprocity in Georgia as well. I'm pretty sure I do. I have a Florida license, so I get reciprocity in a lot of states.
Oh, I can tell you that most people want to keep their guns, or they're afraid they're going to take their guns, and they're all about getting their guns.
Yeah, I don't want anybody taking mine. Yeah, I'm keeping mine.
No, I know you are.
Pull up from my cold, dead hand. Right? I'm not stupid with it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it's a funny thing, because like, I think – this is a funny time because there's this thought of safety, right?
Right.
And like I think a lot of gun holders like just the idea of being able to defend themselves, and like this is a very strong value that they have. And like personally, I don't own one, but I live in downtown Atlanta, so it might be smart to do that.
I'm about to say, you might want to get that.
But it's like you can cherry pick any story to benefit aside, you know.
That's true.
Like so true. Right now we've got there have been stories in the last 4 years of what seems to be random developments of new gang activity, usually in the summer, where like someone will just randomly be stopped in the street, they will give up their wallet and then still murdered, you know.
Yeah.
And then on the other side there's a story of we have a beloved landmark in Atlanta called the Murder Kroger.
Oh wow!
The Murder Kroger. We had some of those. We had some of those growing up in where I grew up in Columbus and Cincinnati. So,
Gotcha.
I get it.
Well, the Murder Kroger had gone murder free for maybe 10 to 20 years. Like it was having a good record. All right,
wow, and then this is long street.
Yeah, and then they redeveloped like the area in this massive public works project called the Atlanta Beltline, which is an amazing effort of federal grant money.
Gentrified it or what?
It's a little bit, but it's really more unused previous railroad track territory. And to try to take more or less abandoned pieces and then turn it into more community oriented. And so one example was like the biggest vacant building in the country. Oh, that might be wrong, but I'm just going to say it anyway. You guys, we can fact check later. But one of the biggest vacant buildings was the City Hall East Atlanta, and they redeveloped that into luxury condos, which, you know, is its own thing. But it was an old building that was unused that is now still holding to its legacy, and not a music venue torn down to put up shitty condos, you know, like, and
right.
And like that, I'm getting away from the Murder Kroger a little bit as I talk about this, but essentially yeah. there was a giant investment in order to try to bring new life to the area. And yeah. as that was happening, they took the Murder Kroger and reinvested a shitload from Kroger Corporate, made it a real nice Kroger, like one of the nicest ones in town. And then suddenly, new murder in the parking lot. Like,
right.
wow. happened like probably 6 months ago, brand new one. And like the details on it now is that he was actually murdered with his own gun.
Jeez.
He killed himself or somebody took his gun?
Like the guy was jacking his car. He tries to stop him because it must have been parked or something, and ends up shooting the guy, and it was with the gun owner's gun, which was left in the car.
Wow.
Was it, what was the ethnicities of these two people?
I think it was a white and black guy. Okay. It's, you know, like, it's funny. You guys are in Texas, so you probably see it, but it's like, it's really funny how touchy people get about race, particularly in places where, there's not that much diversity in the first place, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you start speaking as if there is difference between races, then people get like, people get uncomfortable if they don't have friends of different races, right?
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's a funny thing, you know? It's like, I remember there's a very, very nice school called Savannah College of Art and Design. I went to do a game jam there, and this one black artist was showing me some of his work, and I was like, man, one thing I noticed, man, black artists are really always awesome with earth tones. And we just laughed, because it's like, it's a weird observation, but it's a little bit true. You know, you look at like African art, all these awesome like
browns. That brown and green looks really nice.
It's all over there. It's always beautiful.
I do like earth tones, though, just so you know.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm black as well, so I guess that's what it is.
A black sheriff? No.
Hey, man, I like How I Met Your Mother. That's right. That's just how, you know, we have our things.
What was that? What did you say, Max?
Hey, man, I liked How I Met Your Mother, and I'm white, so, like, we just have our things.
I love How I Met Your Mother. That was a great show.
I'm ashamed to say I like that show, because, like, it was, like, all of it was just funny enough, you know?
Right, right.
Never really challenging, but, hey, they did a great job. So
they did.
Oh, boy.
What are your thoughts on, what's that, are you watching Gotham, Pick?
Nah, I haven't seen Gotham.
I don't watch Gotham either. Okay. Don't worry about it.
Walking Dead. Are you a Walking Dead fan?
Oh man, you know, I fell short in like I think season 4.
Yeah, but I mean certain things I watched, I'm like, okay, I watch it for a different reason now.
Yeah.
But what kind of things do you watch?
The news is bad for you, but TV, you know, it's
yeah, yeah. The news is yeah.
I don't like to watch the news either.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's a separate point, but I was an enormous fan of Mr. Robot this year. That was
great show.
I never saw Mr. Robot.
Like to describe it as the best possible Fight Club fan fiction.
I have not seen Mr. Robot. I'm gonna check that out.
That was great. We didn't catch
on demand.
On demand. You probably have to on demand that.
On demand that.
We missed like the last 4 episodes, but Christian Slater was awesome in that show.
Christian Slater. Okay.
Yeah. Kind of had a rebirth with that.
Yeah. I thought for a minute he was too like A-team, you know, cartoony, but there's a good reason for that. So I'll just let it stick, you know, let it rest there. Yeah. Just tell everyone, just go watch 10 hours of TV and then come back to your lives tomorrow.
Right.
Your homework's not everyone in the universe.
So what shows, well, other than Mr. Robot, what else do you watch?
Let me see. Like what was, I'm trying to think of what was like real committed week to week, but I kind of show up late at these things. You know what I mean?
Right.
Then you're just kind of like, whatever.
Yeah. I was about to be like, oh, snap. But I'm like, oh, the little girl. So I don't know.
You're okay.
No, you're fine.
Did you guys watch The Leftovers?
No, I haven't seen that. Okay. I've seen the previews.
The Leftovers season two is what just completed, but season one is TV that I thought was visionary, but I wouldn't recommend it to people because it was essentially a demonstration of everyone working as hard as they can to stick in a wallowing place with as aggressive coping mechanisms as possible. And like having a history of depression, I'm watching this going, this is the most amazing show I don't want anybody else to watch ever in their lives. It was glorious. It was beautiful. And it was just macabre and terrible and sad. And
yeah.
And season two was all about coping and like getting past it. And it, it was a complete pivot and it was an amazing accomplishment. And it's getting like spooky. It's getting like mystic. There's a moment where he's basically having schizophrenic visions of other people in his life, of people who died and are talking to him. And he has one black man in the woods witch doctor telling him, you got demons haunting you, you got to go to the other side and confront them. And then he has his ex-wife a psychiatrist who's telling him, you don't need magic, you need drugs and therapy. This amazing sort of nexus of what, maybe it's because I'm exposed to a lot more weird opinions, particularly through my show, but it feels so much like this sort of nexus that we're living in right now, where like some would call it a return to clairvoyance, which is way too positive a spin, but it's like we have a weird, I feel like superstition's coming back in a kind of a powerful way these days. And like, and I think the plot of like Game of Thrones is kind of symbolizing that, you know?
Yeah,
just returning to the world, the dragons reborn as like former magicians can now shoot fire from their hands for real, you know?
Right.
And it's just a weird theme that's like getting pushed from sort of like the top down in these shows, you know? Like we're starting to see psychoactive recreational drugs be much more not only stigmatized but also legalized. Between like marijuana use and Alaska, accepted. And Denver, and DC, their efforts. We actually interviewed one gentleman who, Dr. Neil Goldsmith, who works for MAPS.org to try to formalize psilocybin or magic mushrooms as medicinal therapy for PTSD and COVID near death. And it's like this, that stuff's like so insane to me because it's like, the only way you can possibly scientifically explain like an acid trip or a mushroom trip would be to say, we measured them beforehand. Before they felt bad, later they felt good. We took we wrote the paper, now it's science, you know? Right. And like, it's so completely subjective. I don't think there's any way to like, make real science out of that. But in some ways, it's kind of how medicine already works with psychiatric drugs.
Yeah, like, yeah, no, really, you're right.
They don't really have a causation relationship to it. They just have, well, the mind is coping better and now it's addicted to this, but it's good. It's back to normal. So we have to keep it going there.
Right.
So like, I don't support Scientologists and stuff who are like telling us that like doctors have been the ones to like, you know, warp our minds away from our like pure spirituality.
Right.
But I mean, the reason that they're successful is that, you know, people are, I think they are kind of, you know, spiritually sick, maybe psychologically, you know.
And yeah,
most definitely Tom Cruise, case in point for him, right?
Yeah.
The guy's freaking nuts
to his stuff, you know.
Yeah,
I was watching you were talking about Scientology. I was watching this documentary with
was it Going Clear?
I'm sorry,
was it Going Clear on HBO?
No, it was on ABC, I think, and it was about the girl, Leah, I can't pronounce her last name for the life of me right now. She came out on Kings and Queens with
Remini.
Yeah, you go, her.
Lee Remini.
She's
my girl.
Yeah, she was she was my girl back on the Saved by the Bell days. she was a Scientologist and then she switched from Scientology and went back and like, it was almost like a cult the way they operate over there.
Almost.
Very much like a cult.
Pretty much it was, yeah.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
That is the everyone wants to be part of something big. Everyone wants to be part of a success.
You know? Right. Yeah. I haven't seen you all my life.
Excuse right. me. I'm being a prick right now. Pardon.
Nah, you're good. You're good. So I mean, what kind of got you into the podcasting? What pushed you into this?
It was not my idea to begin with, but I think it felt more of a calling for me after the fact. So
yeah. Just felt right.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Just, getting people's heads.
So do you do it to, like for me, I like to discuss things that are, you know, important to everybody, but like, I don't know, like, I guess for me culturally, since I'm half black and half Filipino, I always got to kind of go that route.
Sure.
And not to, it happens to everybody, but it just feels like it happens a lot more to us. Well, I just see a lot, I hear about it a lot more. I don't know what it is, but so yeah. I kind of levitate that way.
Well, man, you know, call bullshit bullshit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you heard Donald Glover's jokes on the black girls of different cultures?
The who's?
The black girls of every culture.
No. <Yeah. laughs>
Donald Glover, one of his songs, Freaks and Geeks, there's a lyric that says, "I'm down with the black girls of every single culture." And he explained that in a stand-up set where he said, he's like, yeah, because like, you know, Filipinos are like the black girls of Asians.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he goes, and Armenians are like the black girls of white girls.
That's hilarious.
Oh, wow. That's hilarious.
There you go.
That is crazy. I consider Filipinos like a little bit more hood than the Japanese and Chinese. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just me.
Whereas, does that make South Korea the suburbs?
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yes. Yes. Hmm.
Yeah.
They all went to private school and they're all overdoing drugs and EDM, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do they do EDM in Korea? I'm just thinking of, I guess, K-pop. Pop music. I don't know.
K-pop. Oh, yeah, K-pop, man. K-pop. It's real popular.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I know a girl that goes crazy. She goes crazy over this stuff.
Oh, man.
Hell it's like huge.
Gangnam Style gets so many views that YouTube had to rewrite their database backend for counting video views.
Really?
Wow.
It rolled over a 32-bit integer, which is 2 to the power of 32, which is like 4 billion or something.
Wow.
So as soon as it got to like 2.5 billion, it suddenly jumped to negative 2.5 billion because it's a signed integer. And they're like, oh, we gotta add a bit.
That song was incredibly popular.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've heard some stuff, man. It sounds pretty good. I mean, I have a friend or somebody I know that listens to that stuff, and I've heard it. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
It's not my thing. This is a new world for me because it's like now that I have access to talk to like K-pop musicians if I wanted to, and I might end up talking to anyone by accident, it's like, man, if it's not your thing, you suddenly can't be a hater anymore, you know?
No.
You can't just be like, you know, man, I hate it. Like everyone wants to hate, right? So fast.
Yeah.
Like right. So quick. Like
you can't help it.
I have a point somewhere. I have a point with this. I can get it to
you. You have a point and you get to it.
Yeah.
Arrive at the point.
So like you had mentioned earlier the interview with Laura Bailey from that
expose.
She was a voice. Actually, no. Laura Bailey was a voice actress who was in Halo 5.
And, okay.
And I had told her that I was so angry with Patrick Rothfuss for not releasing book 3 of the Kingkiller Chronicles. And she's like, yeah, I got to talk to him about it, you know? And I'm like, oh yeah. Cause all of his fans are psycho telling him to like quit everything in his life and just write instead. And I'm like, man, if you can actually talk to the person, you realize how fucking inappropriate that is as a human being to have that commentary to your heroes, you know? Like, do you guys read the Game of Thrones books?
No, I watched the show. It's probably my favorite show. I don't read much, Max. I just want to keep it real with you.
That's cool.
You know, I need to.
I mean, it's only the thing that's going to further stimulate your mind and like open you up to new like sort of worlds and capabilities. But it's cool. No worries.
No, I'm just bullshit. I just haven't read that though.
But it's like George Martin hasn't written a book in like or hasn't released a book in what 5-6 years? Was it 2004 for book 5? And now the TV show is caught up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
That's why there's this big delay or big dilemma, like where people think the show's done, right?
Right.
Done. I thought they were coming out in April.
No, I think that was like the rumor, or not the rumor, but people, I remember seeing on my Facebook feed people saying, hey, the Game of Thrones is, they're caught up to the books or whatever. They're going to do another one.
The final scene of the final season was the final chapter of the last book. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they're smart, I mean, I'm sure they're going to come back with something.
Well, there's more. There's more stuff that they totally skipped over, which got teased on Instagram by an actress who hasn't returned, who we all expected to, and then we're like, what the fuck?
Wow.
You're playing with my emotions, particularly because I watched that show at a bar locally where we have a bingo game. Whenever a show cliche comes on, we get a space. And like, I helped him write the board. So one of the spaces was the return of this character as a different character. And I was waiting for it. It's going to give me bingo. We call it Stark. But I was waiting for it, right? And right when Arya finally arrives at freaking Braavos, and like, I'm waiting for it and waiting for it. It doesn't happen. I'm like, what the fuck?
Right.
I was going to have bingo. I was going to win the prize. And they didn't give it to us. I know how vague I'm being.
No. I mean, you're just competitive. I know how that feels. I feel that same way when I lose my match in NBA 2K or Madden or something. One of those games. Lord. Or Tecmo Bowl. Let's go Tecmo Bowl.
Tecmo Bowl.
Man, keeping it old school.
Definitely. I'm all about those 8-bit games, bro.
Yeah.
Okay. This hiatus that you guys are on with Comcastro, how long, I mean, going back into it, these episodes that you're going to have, what's the time span? Do you all plan on that as well? Or are you taking another break after so many months again?
Oh no, we're just going to get ahead of the curve, you know? So as soon as, there's a good amount of like material to put out there, ready to go, like much more than otherwise, it's all going to launch essentially early February. Nice. And it's just gonna essentially be more or less constant stream after that. Focusing on production and publishing, and we've heard from a lot of people, and a lot of people are frustrated that we haven't shared their opinions yet, so we're very happy to wrap up that loose end.
Definitely. And so I think y'all talked about the podcasting thing. I mean, What exactly? I missed that part. So what exactly jump started you into it?
Oh, into podcasting. I was my good friend Matthew Queen, who had very funny joke about Comcastro. He listens to podcasts as he works out, and he's basically saying, you know, there's a lot of these out there, and I don't know if any of these are better than our conversation. Should we just go for it? I'm like, okay,
yeah.
Like, what should we do? And start theorizing about the North Korean hacks being a giant conspiracy by James Franco to try to bring the Marvel to bring down the Spider-Man franchise as if he is the Green Goblin to return it into the hands of Marvel Studios, which was topical in January,
right?
But he's a lawyer and I'm an engineer, so we had this like thought of, oh, it can kind of be like, you know, politics and technology, and we realized real quickly we ran out of stuff to talk about that.
Yeah.
And so we'd invite guests, and it just got kind of random between local artists, scientists, politicians, and we actually we had spoken to a local city hall, a city council member who may or may not be running for mayor soon. And apparently that had impressed enough people locally that they included us in a issue of Atlanta Magazine in November, just talking about, you know, local podcasts you guys should listen to. And that was a real special treat.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We're so thankful for that, all those guys. But just getting it started was, you know, just kind of random sometimes, you know? It's not like I got a vision. It was one of those kind of figure it out as you go, I think. And I think most podcasts are kind of like that, unfortunately. But
it's kind of funny because we've done a few interviews with some people with podcasts and they've all kind of said the same type of thing. And how we did ours as well.
Yeah, yeah. If there are more to come, they will have a much more concrete plan. I like when hackers are kind of authentic, right? Like Elysium, all the awesome tech for all the awesome bootleg tech had like command line interfaces.
You're talking about Elysium, you said?
Yeah, a different movie, the Matt Damon
one. I saw that. What was that one?
That's the one with Matt Damon, right, I think?
Which one was that one? That's when he got the little the robotic stuff put on his body, and he had to go up to a different world, a different city.
Well, yeah, like the rich had like super medicine and space.
Right. Okay, that's what it was. Okay.
We all lived on the planet. And
yeah, that was kind of crazy.
Yeah. That, it was the same guy who made District 9, I believe.
Oh, District 9 is my show. The movie right there. Yeah, that's good.
That, yeah.
That's right. It is the guy.
I had heard that at the end of District 9, when they're doing all these interviews where people are just hating the aliens, that he had actually just asked people about an actual refugee population in the country.
Yeah.
And so it's when everyone's flipping out about how much they hate these people, he just used that verbatim in the movie about the alien refugees.
What's crazy is that's exactly how it would be.
Yeah.
Most definitely. Yeah.
That's weird. I was like, well, that's how we actually treat them, too.
Well, that'd be the. Yeah. Things are getting real, probably worse though, than right? That. Like with everyone fleeing Syria into the rest of Europe.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
Well, it's like the humanitarian in me is like, well, of course you should come to the aid of people who suffer, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And the practical side of me is like, well, for a European country who's worked really hard to create a social safety net or a social just balance for different classes, showing up with a million new people at the bottom class kind of ruins your existing labor pool, kind of will create natural, you know, violence. People who can't get to work will, I mean, practically people who are idle for too long cause problems.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, for sure.
And, you know, whether you're a local or a refugee or anything, and it's gonna be
very interesting to see.
It sounds a lot like the plot to Terminator, what we're talking about here with Skynet or something. I'm kidding.
Are we going to the full singularity now? Where
I think we are. I think we're going to do that. Then the next thing we'll talk about is Total Recall, going to Mars.
Yeah, is the solution to the refugee problem to insert all their consciousnesses into a digital format so we can store them in the cloud where they all exist instead of taking them?
That's it. Yeah, that'll work.
We're going to have to have like a tax for occupying too much physical existence in this world, and so just return to the cloud in order to sort of save on cash.
Well, I'm thinking so, because all these companies want to use cloud services. So why don't humans invest in that?
Yeah, well, they're going to try to charge us for keeping our consciousness in the cloud, you know, so we can access, you know, every porn that ever existed forever. But
that's the Matrix right there.
Yeah.
Look at that. See, now we've come full circle with the Matrix.
I fucking love the Matrix, man.
Brains in that. I do, too.
I saw that movie as like a early teenager, and that was pretty formative for like my whole like vision or like growing up for that.
One of my favorite series
like every now and then I see a movie and I just think I hope there's a kid like watching this right at the moment he's getting interested in like art, film, stuff like this, and that like being like a pushing force, right?
Yeah.
And it blows his mind and he has to watch it several times to understand what exactly they're referring to.
Yeah, I remember watching The Matrix way too many times.
Yeah,
I still watch it.
Fuck yeah, man, good for you.
The whole the conversation that he has with the architect, that was just like,
oh, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Did you see the Saturday Night Live version with Will Ferrell?
No.
Was that Saturday Night Live or was that the intro to the MTV Awards?
Oh shoot, you know what? It was the intro to MTV. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
It was Justin Timberlake.
It was one of those, right? But oh my god, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
it was the best thing ever. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Will Ferrell's pretty mind blowing.
That was hilarious.
When you try to be funny and then you see what he does, you suddenly get way too much stuff's going on, you know?
Right.
and to me, sometimes he's even funny when he's not even trying at all, but like, you're, I mean, just
he just looks funny.
Yeah,
so. Yep,
You put him with Kevin Hart, it's like, okay, two funny looking dudes. One, see, 6'9", one's like 4'3". And
yeah, you see Ice Cube and Kevin Hart and Conan O'Brien fuck with that girl getting driver's lessons.
No, I didn't see that one.
Conan O'Brien, no. He has one of his staff members. She's getting her driver's license. So he has her drive him around as he gives horrible pointers to her. And then he picks up Ice Cube and Kevin Hart. And then she drives them all to his dispensary to pick up weed as they get high in the back. And she's driving around. And Kevin Hart is like fucking with cops on the street. So they're all hotboxing the car. But the thing is, the cops are all huge Kevin Hart fans, so they don't give a fuck.
Oh, I gotta, that's crazy. I got to see that one.
Yeah. At one point, they asked the girl, what's your favorite fast food? Because they're all getting the munchies. Yeah. They're all getting the munchies. Like, what's your favorite fast food? And she's like, Popeyes. Kevin Hart freaks out. He's like, Popeyes.
Oh, I heard about that.
I about married you, girl.
Yeah, like, what? Popeyes? Like, that is not what I expect you to say.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, does it ever feel like, do you ever feel like you're betraying someone by living up to a stereotype? You know? It's like, listen, people, stereotypes are bullshit, but you know, I'm gonna defend my right to love fried chicken. God damn it.
That's right.
I feel that way on some Saturday mornings when I get breakfast tacos and I'm living up to my Hispanic heritage when I get those breakfast tacos.
But it's good.
Fuck it, yeah, is good. Breakfast tacos. Tacos are my favorite kind of food. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, we got plenty down here for you.
Oh yeah, San Antonio's got nothing but a lot of it.
We got new Asian fusion over here. So we got some solid Korean fusion tacos.
What?
Those are pretty fucking excellent. Korean food in taco form, really well done. We got a barbecue place down here that's doing like full on Southern barbecue with a heavy Asian influence. So everything's got heavy amounts of like kimchi vegetables and like
different
influences in that.
Really?
And it's so amazingly good. And like the sides to it are not like super carbohydrate loaded, so you don't feel like ass after eating too much.
Right.
You know? So mind blowing shit. It just plugs for everything in Atlanta. There you go. Heirloom Market Barbecue.
Maximus Groves endorses Atlanta.
Right. Circle K. Circle K.
A few of those around. I haven't seen
some of those around.
Yeah.
I haven't been in Atlanta in about, it's been a while, 10 years.
Mm. I've never even been.
Yeah. Mm. Good town. Yeah, good town. Lots of stuff to do.
Never ends.
Yeah, lots of stuff to do.
Yeah.
Well,
what part of Texas are you guys in?
We are in San Antonio, Texas.
San Antonio.
That is probably like south central Texas, almost central Texas, going up to the hill country part of Texas.
I mean, we're south Texas. We're 2 hours from the border, so
yeah,
we're south Texas.
We're actually 4 hours from the border.
Are we? Okay.
Yeah,
we're close.
We're close to the border. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys see you guys are on the front lines of changing populations from entering Mexicans.
Yeah, we can see the wall that Trump put up. So
how's it look? Is it beautiful? Like
it's got windows and everything. You can see, right?
It's got the graffiti up. Everything. They're already making their imprint there.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? The presidential race. Who do you think our next president's going to be?
It's really
if you even care about it. But
I mean, people probably should care. It's just I get this feeling that the TV watching demographic is become an extreme minority of the population.
Yeah.
To the point where the only people who watch television are the retired.
Yeah.
And when you start with that statistic, because like they've said that the median age of Fox News viewers are 65.
Really? Well, yeah, they are.
Half of everyone who watches Fox News is older than 65.
Wow.
Wow.
Like, and suddenly like everything about the programming suddenly makes sense. Like it no longer seems like a complete malicious like way to reshape the public, even though it may be. It now looks like just trying to be successful news, like successful product.
Right.
And like,
right.
And it's like seems in so many places where like it looks like just plain evil really just boils down to
survival,
making it work, you know?
Yeah, so, it's trying to survive. Yeah.
And the news itself as an entity is like the fact that Donald Trump becomes such a fascination to them just says to me the just general, it just seems like the news is over. And this guy and everything he does just seems like a 9/11 every day.
Yeah,
pretty much.
So, like, covering this guy is going to do everything possible just to be an interesting story, which he is fascinating. You know, the guy's nothing but word salad for, he's the id of Republican ethos, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I remember seeing coverage of one of his rallies where all it is a giant non sequitur jump from rage bait, rage bait, rage bait to get everyone, yes! You know?
Yeah, yeah. You know? They had some protesters. They threw them out and everything. I mean, I saw that. That was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's I can't see him as president, though.
I can't either.
I'm not sure I want him to be our president. Just, I like the guy, some other aspects, but I just can't see him as president. It doesn't compute for me.
I mean, I got a little bit of a bias mostly from technology stuff, but it is disheartening to see the front runners of both the Republican and Democratic campaigns or parties to be essentially arguing that cryptography is a national security threat. You know? Like, Trump is saying that he's got to call Bill Gates to close down the internet.
Right, right, right.
Clinton's saying we need a new Manhattan Project to break all the codes.
Right.
Wow.
Which
I like Bernie Sanders, actually.
Bernie Sanders is a fascinating character because apparently, like, anyone who knows him doesn't like him that much. Like, they like him because of his values and because he's the most probably the most virtuous politician ever when it comes to these are my values and this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about making relationships. I'm worried about what I believe in.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He's also possibly the most boring guy because of this, right?
It's I'm cool with that, though.
Hey, what are you? Oh, of course, absolutely. When it comes to leadership wise, it's just
that's what I'm saying.
It's very
yeah.
funny that in a position that's become so much around building a personality cult around yourself, you know, like Bill Clinton's got to be super folksy, you know, Barack Obama's got to be like sort of like the American man intellectual who has a beer with you to feel out the problems, you know,
right.
That Bernie Sanders, a man who, if you ask him about anything, he will only ever answer income inequality. A man who's like 70, he's above 70, you know?
He's old.
I am very impressed and I love Bernie Sanders. It's just, I've interacted with a lot of 70-year-olds and like it becomes a very sort of like very fixed view on a lot of things, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I like his view more than the others. I guess
absolutely.
I mean, just imagine Donald Trump like yelling at Al Qaeda or something. You know what I mean? Like or whoever, some group like that
with his thick
accent. Donald Trump seriously. I take Bernie Sanders seriously.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's what I'm saying. But it's crazy. Yeah. You know?
Because Killer Mike was speaking.
Yep.
Killer Mike introduced him at a rally here in Atlanta at the Fox Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And he also interviewed him for a piece. I don't know who was it for. And Killer Mike was interviewed on Colbert on CBS, where he basically arguing Bernie Sanders is the closest to the modern realization of Dr. King's hopes.
Yeah, I actually saw that interview. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think Killer Mike actually brought up that blue eye brown eye experiment. Did you see that? Have you ever heard about that?
No. Please. Yeah, go ahead. Remind us. Well, I don't know. Max doesn't know. So,
okay. Yeah. So basically, a teacher, a white lady, back in 1950 or 1960, decided to do an experiment. She said she's a history teacher. She was teaching the kids about history, and she felt like she had the kids enact a racial situation or discriminational situation, and had the kids treat each other in such a way. And she labeled them a certain way, you know, whether they were black or white or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then she decided to change it up a little bit. She said, let's do it by eye color, blue eye, brown eye kids. And we're going to treat the blue eye kids a certain way. We're going to treat the brown eye kids a certain way and see how it happens. So, and she flip-flopped it the next day as well to see, and had them do schoolwork and all that stuff. And it was kind of interesting how the kids that were being discriminated against were low performing the next day after they were high performers the day before. It was kind of interesting how that worked. So she started doing it with adults now.
Oh yeah. The concept of being living up to the expectations upon you in education.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Cited very frequently for like women and math.
Mm-hmm. And, so she does adults now as well, and she's been doing it 50 years, man. It's pretty interesting because she'll do it, you know, with grown folks, and it's like, wow. It's eye-opening. Just to see how people are treated and how people react to it. And, you know, you react just like anybody else would react.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a tricky thing. It's like you want to, because like it's systemic, you know, like you can't, if schools are going to be, you know, shitty or good regionally, and you're going to be, you know, raised in a place that your challenges aren't academic, your challenges are like, let's just say like, you know, survival. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
It's not going to be a path into, you know, bigger challenges later on, you know, you're not going to be building a Mars spacecraft.
No, nope.
And then when you get to a situation 20 years later, when people are saying like, where's the work I can do? You know, how can like this take care of me? It's like, well, go build a Mars spacecraft. Well, I can't, you know,
right.
It's like, who's responsible now?
Yep.
Like is the system at large responsible? Do we have to, is there a means to get people to a place where, you know, they can take charge of their own lives, or are we going to have perpetually sort of like, you know, an overextended labor or underclass that, you know, needs constant new trade development? You know,
I mean, because like we're ranked what, 17th or 18th in the world in education? I mean, that's
The people ranked 1 through 17 have got pretty. It's like the whole nation is a suburb,
right? You know? Yeah,
like
true.
Norway, Denmark.
Yeah,
like these places. That's true. You're right. These places have one class.
That's true. That's true. It just sounds bad. You know, it's just like, I grew up in it. So it's kind of like, you know, I'm not taught in it. You know, my girl's a principal. So we see a lot of stuff that's systemically already integrated into the school system and all that stuff. And we're kind of like, wow, you know, how can we change this from within?
Did you guys read the New Yorker piece on the teacher who is, he's the guy who, one of the teachers at the core of the Atlanta public schools cheating scandal.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was a good article. Basically detailing his efforts to to bottom up reshape educational pride and values in a community and being roped into what was a top down fraud from the administration saying success is what matters. You know, it's like make the numbers work, get the funding to make this work.
Right.
It is the most amazing irony, the No Child Left Behind policy, because when something is failing, it needs more help.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And so when a school's standards are failing, to deprive funds basically means you're fated to forever being stuck. So now you either must close or something else.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy was trying to manipulate to get funding for education?
His superiors put him in a situation where they were all required to change student test scores in order to increase the school's funding in the system. And and the superintendent who was in charge of it died of cancer before going to court for it.
Dang.
Yeah. That was huge. That was a big thing. That was what, 3 or 4 years ago, maybe?
Yeah. Four or five. They were actually just sentenced. They were sentenced in 2005, 15, excuse me. They were sentenced to mid.
It was like a lot. It was like 30 people, right? It was a lot of people, too.
Anyone who didn't plead guilty, there was a major early sentence and then a lesser later one.
Okay.
Yeah, basically, at that point, justice is about how much you humiliated the state.
They take this stuff seriously.
Well, I mean, you know, Edward Snowden is perceived as a criminal because he's humiliated the powerful.
Right.
All he's really done is said things that are true.
Yeah, you know? Exposed some things,
technically not a crime in the United States, but he's treated as one because it humiliates us.
Made me look bad. Yeah, you made him look bad. So yeah,
like ultimately, the real crime is, you know, humiliating the powerful, which is a lesson, you know, for all of us.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, watch what you do. Yes, that's definitely.
Well, I don't know if it's like, because you need to always live with intention, you know? And he definitely is. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if that's, you know, the risk, so if that's the risk you're willing to take, you know, yeah. Hey.
Like, there's situations like, I think the least popular opinion that I hold personally is that, it usually all involves computer crime, but like, you guys probably won't like this, but so child pornography is illegal to possess, like by default,
right? But
anyone can access your computer and put it there. And now, you're a criminal for possessing it for not having tried to do that.
Wow.
And very often prosecutors are smart about this, but very often they're not, you know? And I think the most interesting case was probably 10 years ago where a boy had downloaded a mislabeled pornographic video that turned out to be child pornography that he immediately deletes, which apparently must have been an FBI honeypot, because then they arrest the kid and they tell him to just plead guilty and take like a 5-year sentence because no one will.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like the worst possible application of justice in a situation that has a mandatory minimum and criminalized just for possession.
And it's, even though I haven't had any of that in the last 25 years, it's just one day. Yeah, I mean, you know, just like say that was on my computer one day, and like I've never ever looked at that in my history of my computing. Hmm. Like,
yeah, well, like it happens more often nowadays, where like if you say something that pisses people off, they like someone will go access your router, get public access to your computer, and then upload some stuff. Then the FBI will raid you, and then they'll see that it was all like hoaxed by somebody else, and then they'll like be smart about it. But they don't have to be, you know?
Right.
So that's like NSA stuff, but beyond.
Yeah. It's like, well, for instance, Google as a business downloads the entire internet. Like that's how they make things work. So,
really?
So anything online that's illegal, they have downloaded and they have possession of.
They download the internet?
They download the entire internet. I think every...
How often? Yeah.
Like 10 to 20, about 10 years ago, it was every 4 days they got through the whole thing. These days there might be more stuff out there, but like, so when they emerged, like Yahoo as a system was just like the yellow pages. You directory list websites, get them in the thing. That's how you find them.
Yeah.
Right. Google said, we can do this better. They downloaded the whole internet, wrote AI bots that just analyzed every link, every text on the link, and where every link went and where they connected to, and built essentially a list of what the web actually looks like. And they continue to do this, and that was like the core of their whole search algorithm. And so because they do this, anything that's legal online, they actually are in possession of. Every bit of pirated movie access, every bit of child pornography. But it's like should they be prosecuted for this? Of course not. Like it makes absolutely no sense. And they're not, but you know, like it's vague enough where if someone was enough of a prick, every judge would probably dismiss it, but it's possible, you know? So that stuff's just kind of messy in the law. Usually anytime there's a computer crime involved, especially with the FBI involved, things go pretty bad. Like,
all the time.
Probably the most notorious one is when Aaron Swartz commits suicide based upon the harassment he gets from the FBI after he sets up a bot that just downloads JSTOR articles from MIT. So nothing was ever illegally accessed. It just downloaded educational material, and they decided to prosecute him as a hacker criminal, and then he just can't stand the heat and kills himself. And then coincidentally, right after that happens, they open up the whole JSTOR articles for public access. Like,
right.
It's like a
go figure.
It's almost like, wow. One of those Campbellian hero's path journeys, right? The personal sacrifice that changes the core of the world. But You shouldn't glamorize suicide like that, though.
Right. Right. Wow.
Well, that stuff's all old news. Probably the most interesting stuff today is cryptography, because they think that we're in danger of it, but without it, we can't bank, you know?
Technically,
we can't bank online. It doesn't really work, but it's functional enough. They got enough things that they give you enough mulligans if someone frauds your system, so it helps.
Yeah, that's true. Now I'm all freaking paranoid. I'm gonna have to put these firewalls on my routers.
I don't
definitely want to protect my system. I don't want stuff getting put in my.
Well, if they want you bad enough, I think they'll get you. I don't think.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not like we have that high technology that they better than theirs. They're gonna.
Okay.
We don't download MP3s anymore, so they can't stay.
You want some sports? So I played rugby in college for about 10 years.
Oh, really? Okay.
I didn't go to college for 10 years. I did play rugby for about that long, though.
I did.
It sounds like Chris Farley.
Yeah, he did too.
Career student.
But rugby is good shit. You guys ever play or watch that shit?
I've watched it. I've never played it, though.
It's hard to make sense of, isn't it?
A little bit?
No. Rugby?
Like these guys are throwing.
I'm thinking about hold on. That's the one with the little ball at the net with the little thing on the end of the.
No, it's like football.
Oh, I'm tripping. Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, no, rugby. Yeah,
it's very physically demanding,
though. I played rugby. I just didn't know what it was.
Oh, right on.
In my backyard.
I just didn't know what it was.
Yeah, we were playing football, but yeah, without pads, pretty much rugby.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. You have to learn a different form of tackling so you don't die.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Which is the opposite of the NFL. It's like, now we'll just build a better helmet so we can hit them as fast as possible to, you know, break their necks.
Yeah, it's dangerous, man. I watched it on TV every once in a while. It's big dudes, man, running the ball. I'm like, wow, you know, how are you gonna get this guy down?
How do you guys feel about the what was it? Essentially, it's the new contact rules in general. But I remember seeing you probably do remember this. I think it was a Cincinnati game where end of the game, guy gets hit, and they call him for unsportsmanlike for the contact on the ball. And as a result of that penalty and the next one, they're able to get an easy field goal and win in the playoffs. I think it was the Steelers versus the Bengals.
Yeah, both those are both my teams, actually.
I thought you were supposed to be one or the other. I thought if you like one, you're supposed to hate the other fundamentally.
No, that's no.
Every Steelers fan I know says, listen, I'll root for the conference if the Steelers don't make it, except for the Bengals.
Well, see, I'm from Ohio, so I'm a Steelers fan that's from Ohio.
Yeah, so you are.
And my son's from Cincinnati, so I don't have a. I'm not a hater, you know.
I can't not being a hater, man. But it's like, aren't you? Sports is the place where we're allowed to hate. All right, people fundamentally have a gene that makes them need to hate. All right, like they can't. They can't get past it. It's a natural tribal thing, and sports is what allows you to express that safely.
So okay, so let me put it to you this way: like, I'm a Ohio State fan too, right? I don't hate Michigan. So why would I hate those teams if they can't?
So much love in your heart, man. Is it just?
Well, it's like this. They can't beat us, so they haven't been beating us. So why would I hate a team that can't beat us anyway?
That's how I look at it. At Georgia Tech, on freshman year, the first moment you come in, they start getting you screaming to hell with Georgia. They're like, I don't even worry about these little
games.
Although every 3-8 years, they'll be an upset, though. So that's nice.
Right. Now, Baltimore is a different story. New England, that's a different story. So,
okay.
Yeah, I do. I don't really hate them. I just hate playing them because they always win it, or they give us a really good game to where, you know, I don't know. It's just not an easy win. Yeah. Hell, Baltimore beat us twice this year, and they were terrible.
So what are you guys – oh, yeah, and then the Falcons bringing down Carolina at the very end, right?
Right, right.
I enjoyed that. Winning when it doesn't count at all. Hell yeah.
Right. Right.
But so like, what's your guys' thoughts on, like, they're doing everything they can to essentially, they're trying to enforce player safety, right?
Well, I mean, the Antonio Brown hit. Now, there was a play there where Shazier hit, I can't remember which running back it was from, or Jeremy Hill or Giovanni Bernard from Cincinnati. That was a bad hit. I mean, he should have been fined or suspended or something for that. And then now, but they were, he was running. He was at least in the act of running the ball, so you know he's expecting a hit. But
do you like? Yeah. Do you deserve protection if you're running the ball, unless it's like literally like is, face mask, head tackle, because you can't even right. clothesline someone if they're running the ball. Like they've turned
it right.
like a cannonball. You know,
I think it should be different because you're running the ball, so you know you're expecting to get hit. Now Antonio Brown he missed the ball. He was exposed at that point, so the guy should have laid off. I mean, he's been known to be aggressive. This is not the first time he's done something like this. So
yeah, this is what I was referring to, the one at the very end with Brown. But it's like that, right. like. It was like 0.3 seconds between him missing the ball and getting hit, right?
Yeah, but I mean, they're athletes. It happens fast. They anticipate very well. He could have tried to avoid it. I don't think he did a little bit, but it was kind of like
I think he jerked his neck on that hit. I think he got hit in the shoulder and he jerked his neck to look like it was sloppy. And then the NFL broadcasters are all just, they don't really know the sport. They just kind of take lessons from what the NFL needs to say to the public.
Yeah.
That's the dirtiest thing I've ever seen, when in fact they're just like making it.
No, it wasn't. I don't think it was dirty. I just felt like he could have let up a little bit. I mean, because Antonio Brown missed the next game. He didn't play yesterday.
But to go back with what you were talking about, what they're doing to protect the NFL, I think it's a good thing, especially because they're getting sued by everyone now.
Yeah.
With the whole head injury, head trauma and everything.
And the movie ain't helping at all either, concussion.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of how the sport works. Like, it's the only reason, the only reason you would even accept this is because of the compensation. Like,
right.
Like, it's, right. like that's the only, like playing in the NFL takes like 20 years off your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Especially your knees. Yeah.
And just period. You're going to die and you're going to be in pain in a lot of different ways. And every year, as more competition and more, you know, new talent arrives, you're going to get hit harder, you're going to get broken down worse, and some people will be concussed to the point where they'll commit suicide by shooting themselves in the heart so that their brain can be saved for science.
Yeah, Junior Seau, right?
Junior Seau.
Junior Seau did that.
I mean, it's been a few guys that's, I think, done that.
Brett Favre's coming out and saying, your guy from the Steelers recently.
Was it Faneca? No, it wasn't Faneca, was it?
I forgot which receiver it was, but he was saying.
Oh, and that was Randall L.
Yeah,
Antoine. Yeah, Randall L. Yeah,
he said that he would have rather played baseball than football just because of all the pain and head trauma he's coming back with now.
Yeah, and the thing is, I don't think you can separate it from the sport. I really don't. Like, I don't think there's a.
You got to do something though. I mean, you got to try to do something. I mean, you got to address it somehow.
It's a political thing because now it boils down to. They're trying to protect what the NFL is to the hearts of the American public.
Yeah.
This is silly. I mean, it's real power, but like the policies are built more on this protecting this thing than the actual, you know, structure of safety.
Well, it makes a lot of money. They're not trying to get rid of that for sure. It's probably one of the biggest corporations probably in America probably.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, this only matters because women watch the game now.
Yeah, if women starting. You're right.
They wouldn't give
a lot more women.
Because you see the marketing, right? It's like women being fierce, wearing pink jerseys to their favorite team, right?
And right.
Yeah.
It's a friendly game. It's good for everyone. It's fun for the family. And then you got someone's like grandma going, he shouldn't show off like that after doing so hard. And it's like, have you ever like. Been glorious in the moment before grandma. I mean, fuck.
Right.
In the heat of the moment, you don't care. You just do it.
Don't give a fuck, man.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Accomplish the goal, you know.
I mean, hell, what was it in like the 70s? Like, they would like someone would like get a serious field injury, they'd rip off a piece of their jersey, wear that shit, and scream and holler like they've just taken out like a rival.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that was Lyle Alzado.
Lyle Alzado.
Yeah.
Back that's funny.
And you can't do that shit anymore.
Definitely not.
I like sports. I'm not enough of a fanatic, but I like it. It's good.
Good stuff. All right, man. So, I mean, we kind of covered a lot of stuff here, Max.
Yeah, we won't take up too much of your time.
Yeah, we're running kind of long.
Yeah, no. Real quick. Where can our listeners, you want to plug any like social media or your podcast?
Find you guys. Find you.
Sure, man. So if you guys are interested in more weirdo opinions like this and more, you can hear more from me and my team at Comcastro at comcastro.com or on also on Twitter and Facebook. My Twitter, you can tweet me all your hate for all my policy, for all my ideas at Comcastro Max. Tell me how much of a monster I am. That'd be great. Also at Comcastro Show is where you see updates for our latest episodes and stuff. And also at Demi also has like 5 accounts that she can find all of her stuff through. And
yeah, she's all over the place on Twitter, man.
Oh, really?
She's a champion. Demi is a Twitter. It's actually her birthday today too.
Oh, happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Happy 21st.
Today, yeah, of course. Today, as of recording. And
nice.
Cool.
Well, shout outs to her.
Yeah, happy 21st.
Yeah, and everyone or whatever. Watch Mr. Robot. That's the universe's homework.
Right. I do need to watch that.
No, you're gonna love that show.
I've heard good things about it.
That's the one.
It's gonna blow your mind.
Really?
Yeah, seriously.
Mr. Robot?
Yeah, dude, it's great, man.
Is it like The Matrix blew my mind?
It like a period piece for today.
Huh.
Like they're trying to make it as like the opposite of timeless, like whatever that would be.
Yeah. Setting my DVR right now.
Man,
all right, Max.
I hope I haven't talked about too much shit I don't know anything about.
No, not at all. I mean,
people do that.
You know, we're just podcasters BSing, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's been fun, guys.
It has been fun. Thanks, Max.
Yeah, man. Till next time.
All right, take care, brother. Thanks, man.
Peace out.
Yes, sir. Peace.
All right. Thank you very much for being on the podcast, Max. Again, follow them on Twitter. Follow him on Twitter. Check out the podcast. Listen to it. Let him know what you think. He was a great guest. I hope you enjoyed. And again, for us as well, Pick and Row Show. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope at Pick and Row Show. We also, I mentioned earlier in the podcast, we do have a Snapchat. More snaps coming to you soon, I promise. Promise we won't let you down with that. They'll be entertaining as always. And thank you so much again, guys, for the continued support. We really appreciate it. For Pick and Row, we're Pick and Row. Thanks for listening.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.